Now, second factor or second reason for the disappearance of Buddhism from India, dependence on an eventual failure of royal patronage. The individual wanderer, wandering about, collecting his food every day, could depend on the individual householder. He could just go to someone's house, just one single person's house, one single person's door, and he'd get enough for the day. And that was that. Then, even when small hermitages were established, small viharas were established in the vicinity of a little village or town, they could depend for support on the village community. They weren't too much for the village community to manage to support. But suppose one wanted to establish and to develop a very large monastery, then to whom could one turn for support? One couldn't appeal for funds over the radio or through the newspapers. There were no such things in those days. So to whom could one look? To whom could one turn? Only to the king. It was only the king who had enough money to support ventures of this kind. So we find that from the very beginning in India, Buddhism tended to seek to enlist the support of the kings. And we find that very often they succeeded brilliantly. And there were names of certain kings who were very distinguished in this respect, celebrated for the very munificent support which they gave Buddhism, especially in the way of endowing and maintaining huge monasteries. We remember in this connection the names of Ashoka, of Kanishka, of Harsha, and so on. And sometimes we find that Buddhism succeeded in gaining the support of whole dynasties, of the Gupta dynasty and the Pala dynasty in northeastern India, and the Satavahanas in the south in the Deccan. Though this support was not always exclusive. Many kings supported Buddhism, but supported other religions as well. And of course the example of the king was followed by lesser folk. Whatever the king does, of course everybody else does. So if the king supports Buddhism, then other less wealthy people also would tend to support. Now unfortunately, this strength of Buddhism was also its weakness. You have these enormous monastic institutions supported by royal patronage. But kings are fickle creatures. Put not your trust in princes. And sometimes the kings changed their religion. They switched over, very often, of course, for entirely political reasons. And they became sometimes violent Shaivites or fanatical Jains. And didn't support Buddhism, even started persecuting it. Well, sometimes, unfortunately, a Buddhist dynasty just died out, just dwindled away. But what happened in either case was that support was withdrawn and Buddhism, in the sense of monastic Buddhism, suffered.